recognize they're doing one of the two things you ought to be doing. I knew two teachers. They were both good teachers. They were in my high school. One of them seemed to have more charisma. They were behind themselves. They were more outrageous. They promoted themselves. They became a personality. Kids talked about them after class. They got excited about their material. The other teacher was a good teacher, but they were very modest and shy. And they didn't have the same impact on the kids because they wouldn't promote themselves. We were given this personality for some reason. God knows, right? Some people go, oh, the ego is bad. The same people who don't like money much, they say, the ego is bad. I've got to get rid of my ego. That person has a big ego. What's the ego? The ego is just our sense of self. It's our identity, our history, our sense of self. The problem happens with ego is when we think it's only, that's all we are. But I use my ego to teach, to learn, to serve. It's just our personality, for what it's worth. Promote yourself. You can be humble too. You know, I used to be humble. But I stopped after hearing a quotation by Golda Meir. She said, don't be so humble. You're not that great. One of the major malaises, one of the major problems in American life today, and maybe in Europe as well, but more in America, we've forgotten to appreciate what we do for a living. Whatever it is, if you work as an assistant in an office to someone, you're important to that person you're assisting. You make a difference. Probably half run the business. Whatever you do in life is valuable. It's your career. It's precious. If one day you want to go to another career that pays better or is more stimulating to you or challenges you more, great. At the appropriate time, go for it. But whatever you do is valuable. Martin Luther King said it as well as I possibly could. Let me share his words. Whatever your life work is, do it well. Do it so well that no one else could do it better. If it falls in your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, like Shakespeare wrote poetry, like Beethoven composed music. If you don't like your career, make up your own. Ron Kaufman, an old friend of mine, grew up liking one thing in life, throwing frisbees. He loved throwing frisbees. He'd be playing frisbee golf and challenge frisbee. But he was getting close to 30 years old. And his parents were saying, Ron, is it time you kind of got an occupation? But he just loved frisbees. He also, though, had a feeling for world peace. He'd always had a feel for, we need to bring the countries together. One day it struck him. He said, I know. And he went to the WAMO Corporation. And he asked them if they would give him a gift of 500 frisbees. On the frisbees printed world peace in Russian and English. And he found a sponsor and they sent him to Russia as a frisbee goodwill ambassador. He went to Russia and he went to people in the streets. He'd walk through the square like in Moscow and he'd walk up to people and he'd, in halting Russian, partly in English, he'd show them the frisbee and show them how it worked. People were getting so excited, they hadn't seen these. And he'd teach them to throw frisbees. And these frisbees with world peace on it, in Russian and English, were flying all over the squares, all over. He traveled throughout Russia. He got to know the country so well and made so many wonderful contacts, they ended up going back again and again, doing frisbee tours, leading people, other people. He'd bring them, they'd pay him money to bring them to Russia, and they'd do frisbee tours and meet the people and so on. He ended up marrying a Russian wife and so on. He's still doing it as far as I know. Was a while ago. So the point is, if you're not sure of your occupation, make up your own. The best thing you can tell your children about career is to find out what they love to do and get someone to pay them for it. I had a friend, Larry. That's his real name. He was a tax accountant. Larry told me in confidence one day that a lot of his clients complained that he charged too much. Actually, he was in the lower end, below the middle, in terms of the range for tax accountants. He was charging less than most, but his clientele complained a lot. And one day he said, enough of this. He'd gone through some self-worth considerations in terms of how much he should charge for his services. And so he decided to raise his price. He almost doubled his price, which put it in the mid to high range. But he said, I'm going to give really good service. He renovated his headquarters. People weren't kept waiting. He hired a few more people. He just upgraded everything. And he lost about half his clientele who said, what? This kind of fees? And they quit. But he started attracting new clientele. And he noticed about a year and a half later, he had more than double the clientele, well more than double, and nobody complained anymore. Now, I don't know if there's a moral there. When you assume, if I charge people less and less and less, if I say I'll do it on a sliding scale, people have so many money issues. I had a guy who said, I can't afford, I was doing a life reading. I wrote a book called The Life You Were Born to Live. It's about life purpose information. And he said, I can't afford your reading. I said, I knew him. He was an acquaintance of mine. I said, oh, you have a nice little TV set. I'll take that in trade. He said, oh, I just remembered where I can get the money. People have many issues about money. They can't afford this, but they can afford, you know, their six pack every other day or whatever it is, you know. So you're not necessarily doing people a favor by charging them less money. Think about it. And the point of Larry's story is, don't charge less, give more. That's your responsibility. Instead of going down, 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 give more. A good chance to apply your will to money is to live below your means. Thomas Stanley, in his book, The Millionaire Next Door, emphasized this. He said, millionaires are guys who own the hardware store down the street. They're not necessarily in Las Vegas, but they're people who live below their means. They don't deprive themselves, but they live frugally. They have a Sears card instead of a Neiman Marcus card. They drive an older Ford instead of a Mercedes. They're not ostentatious, but they save money and they work with it and they also contribute to people. Live below your means. It's one key. Because no matter how much you make, if you spend more, you know what happens. These are some practical things I wanted to point out, but based on larger principles. Money is energy, develops efficiency and stability. Let me get an idea. How many people here have developed sufficiency where money is no longer really an issue with you one way or the other? It's just a thing in life. Okay, so one hand, two, three, four, five hands go up. So most of us are working on this area. There's no magic thing. Money's not my religion. It's not about dare to be great, make $1 billion, you know, in real estate or whatever. First, examine your attitudes toward money. Did anything I say kind of quirk? Did it hook anything in you? When you explore that, you can begin to just provide a service. I've been broke. Now I'm better off because I've provided a useful service, writing books. That's my situation. I've been both places, and overall, I prefer providing a valuable service and clearing up those money things. It's the fourth gateway. As you do, you'll be amazed how much energy is released and how much your attention is freed to notice the beauty around you in life.